إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فقد ذكر الله عز وجل الاستقامة في كتابه وعلى لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأمر بها أشرف خلقه، فقال: فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو سيد من استقام، ولكنه لما كان في مقام القدوة فإن الله عز وجل يأمره بلزوم هذه الاستقامة، لأنه للناس إماما. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. فاستقم أي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أمرت، كما أمرك الله، لأن الاستقامة لا تكون إلا وفق شرع الله ووفق هدي الله ووفق منهاج الله. فمن أراد أن يستقيم فعليه أن يلزم الصراط المستقيم الذي أمرنا الله عز وجل بسلوكه ولزومه. ويدعو المؤمن ربه 17 مرة الصلوات المكتوبة أن يثبته على هذا الصراط فلا ينحرف عنه يمنة أو يسرى، لأن من انحرف عنه فلم يستقم، لأن الله عز وجل يريد منا أن نعبده لا بأهوائنا وإنما وفق ما أمرنا في كتابه وعلى لسان نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولهذا يوجد أدعياء يدعون أنهم أقاموا وجوههم لله وأنهم استقاموا على منهاج الله، ولكنهم قد شركوا وغربوا إما إلى إفراط وإما إلى تفريط، إما إلى غلو وإما إلى تقصير. فهذا الصوفي مثلا يظن أنه قد استقام كما أمره الله، ولكن حينما نعرض ما هو عليه على الكتاب والسنة ونزن أعماله وأقواله ومعتقداته على الكتاب والسنة نجد أنه في واد، والصراط المستقيم والاستقامة الحقيقية في واد آخر. ولهذا قال الله عز وجل لنبيه والخطاب لأمة نبيه: فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا، لأن الطغيان خروج عن الاعتدال، خروج عن الوسطية، خروج عن الاستقامة الحقيقية. لأن الاستقامة كما عرفها العلماء هي لزوم الطاعة، وعرفها آخرون هي لزوم الصراط المستقيم بلا اعوجاج عنه يمنة أو يسرة. وفسر بعضهم هو أن يدعي الإنسان الاستقامة وهو يروغ عنها روغان الثعالب، والله عز وجل يريدنا أن نلزم الصراط المستقيم الذي رسمه لنا على لسان نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، صلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أبو الشيخ إخوان أبو أنس جزاه الله خيرا began by praising Allah عز وجل and sending the salutations of peace and blessings upon our Prophet and our Rasul صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. And then he began by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with al-istiqamah, or being upright. And today's talk, inshallah, is about al-istiqamah. It will help a person to make tawbah. Being upright will help a person to perform and to make the tawbah. He said Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us, all of us, with this istiqamah on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to also be upon al-istiqamah. Because Allah said to him in the Quran, have istiqamah, be upright, ya Muhammad. And also those who are with you from the believers should be upright and do not be oppressive. Do not have any tughyan. He went on to say, Ikhwani, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the master or the sayyid, the leaders of those who have been commanded to have an istiqamah. And he has been ordered because he is an example for the people. So when he is being ordered to have istiqamah, it becomes clear that it is an obligation upon the other people to follow him, because he is the imam. The imam for all of the people, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, verily you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a perfect example for those who remember Allah much and they hope to meet Allah and they believe in Yawmul Qiyamah, in the last day. So Allah Ta'ala has told them in the Quran, Ya Muhammad, have istiqamah, be upright as you have been ordered to do. He said that al-istiqamah will never be obtained except that it has to be in accordance to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has to be in accordance to the command of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and the affair of Allah, the amr of Allah azza wa jal. And whoever wants to have istiqamah from amongst the people, then he has to do so having the istiqamah upon the sirat al-mustaqim. The sirat al-mustaqim that Allah ta'ala has ordered us to be upon, and the sirat al-mustaqim that we ourselves make dua, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish us firmly upon it at least 17 times every single day in our prayers that are an obligation. The Shaykh said, whoever makes the inhiraf and he goes off of the sirat al-mustaqim in his attempt to have istiqamah, if he goes to the right or the left, then in fact he has not truly completed this command of having al-istiqamah. Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants us to worship him not according to our desires and not according to anything other than what he has revealed from the kitab and from the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He said, and there are some people out there from this ummah who claim, and they make mere claims, that they are upon al-istiqamah. They make these claims, but in fact, they are upon their desires, because you will see them going to the east or the west, or going to the right or the left, and they're missing the mark. You'll find those people who are either having ifrat or tafreet. They're either doing too much, or they're not doing enough. These people make claims, and they're either going overboard with al-ghulu, they're having excesses, and they're going in excess, or they're having taqseer, and they're falling short of the mark. Sheikh said, for an example, let's just take an example. You look at the Sufi, individual who connects himself to Sufism. He makes a claim that he is upon istiqamah. But then when you take his deeds, when you take his actions, when you take his statements, and you superimpose them upon the kitab and the sunnah, you will see that his deeds and his actions and his statements are in one body or in one place, and what the kitab and the sunnah has commanded with is in another valley, totally distinct and different from what he's claiming. Allah Ta'ala again told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and commanded him, have istiqama, as you have been ordered to have istiqama, and do not be oppressive. Because a tughyan, he went on to say, a tughyan is going overboard, and is going beyond the limits, and going beyond the call of duty. So, as it relates to al-istiqama, the definition of it that we have been commanded to have, as some of the scholars have said, that al-istiqama is the lazum of the ta'ah. It is being diligent in trying to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and always holding on to a ta'ah, the obedience, and trying to be obedient. And some of the people say that al-istiqama is to be upon the sirat al-mustaqim without going to the right or the left of it, but remaining right upon the sirat al-mustaqim. And some people said that al-istiqama is for a person to claim to, he is upon a particular thing, and then to actually be upon that particular thing. So Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us to hold on to the sirat al-mustaqim, and in the sirat al-mustaqim, there is the istiqama.
فالاستقامة أيها الأحبة ليست تبعا للأهواء، فهناك أناس يريدون الاستقامة، يريدون الصلاح، يريدون التوبة، يريدون أن يتمسكوا بهذا الدين، ولكنهم يتبعون أهواءهم، يتبعون شهواتهم، يفهمون الدين على أو يلزمون الدين ويلزمون التدين على غير هدى، على غير هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، على غير فهم أصحابه رضي الله عنهم. لهذا نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما ذكر الفرق والافتراق وبين أنهم أن هذه الفرق كلها في النار، إذن هم خالفوا الاستقامة الصحيحة الحقيقية. افترقت اليهود والنصارى على 72 فرقة، وستفترق أمتي على 73 كلها في النار. إذن هم لو استقاموا استقامة صحيحة، استقامة حقيقية، ما دخلوا النار. لو لزموا الصراط المستقيم كتابا وسنة ما دخلوا النار. ولهذا بيّن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن من أراد أن يدخل الجنة وأراد أن يكون على الاستقامة الصحيحة فعليه بما كان عليه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه. ولهذا قال كلها في النار إلا واحدة، يعني الناجية، لأنها استقامت استقامة كما أمر الله، لم تطغى، لم يكن عندها طغيان كطغيان الخوارج، ولا تفريط كتفريط المرجئة، لم يكن عندها غلو الذي هو سبب رئيس من أسباب الانحراف عن الاستقامة. قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. ولهذا كل من أراد أن يستقيم على دين الله وعلى صراط الله المستقيم فعليه أن يسلك سبيل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وسبيل أصحابه، عقيدة، علما، عملا، سلوكا. قالوا من هي؟ قال الذين هم على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. ولهذا كل من خالف ما عليه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه ليس بمستقيم، وإنما متبع لأهوائه. كما أنه جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل أحدا بعدك، يعني كل قولا جامعا مانعا يكفيني في ديني ودنياي. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم، أو قل ربي الله ثم استقم. فكم من واحد من أدعياء الإسلام يقولون ربي الله، آمنت بالله، لكن كما قال الله عز وجل في المنافقين، ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين، يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون. فالقضية ليست قضية شعار. الآن هناك جماعات حزبية ترفع شعار الإسلام هو الحل، لكن أي إسلام يدعو إليه هؤلاء؟ الإسلام الحزبي الذي يفرق بين المسلمين، الإسلام الأشعري الذي لا يقيم وزنا لعقيدة السلف، الإسلام الصوفي الذي يقول ما فيها الجبة إلا الله ويترضى على كبار الحلوليين الداعين إلى عقيدة الحلول والاتحاد، الإسلام الذي ينافق نفاق سياسي، هذا هو الإسلام الذي فيه الحل؟ لا، هذا ليس فيه حل. الحل في الإسلام الذي جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والذي سلكه أصحابه، والذين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنا عليه اليوم أصحابي، هذا هو الإسلام الذي يحل مشاكل المسلمين، هذا هو التدين الذي يحل مشاكل المسلمين. هل إسلام التفجير والتكفير وترويع الآمنين وزعزعة أمن المجتمعات حتى لو كانت بلاد كافرة أنت دخلت إليها بتأشيرة ودخلت إليها بعقد وبعهد، لا يجوز أن تغدر، لا يجوز أن تدمر المنشآت والمباني وتروع الآمنين وتدعي أن هذا هو الإسلام وأن هذا حل لمشاكل المسلمين. لا، القتال والجهاد غاية شريفة، لكن لابد أن تسلك فيها سبل شريفة. الجهاد في الإسلام ذروة سنام الإسلام، لكن ليس في الفنادق وفي الأسواق، في الخنادق وفي مقابل أعداء الله المحتلين الغاصبين، حينما تكون عندك قدرة وحينما يكون عندك راية هناك شروط. فالإسلام الذي يصلح عليه حال الناس وينتفع به من استقام عليه هو الإسلام الذي أمر الله به نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما قال له فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا. نحن الآن نعيش حياة يعني حالات من الطغيان والعياذ بالله، حالات من التمرد على الإسلام الصحيح، حالات من تشويه الاستقامة الصحيحة على دين الله. ولما كانت هذه الأمة ليست معصومة من الخطأ قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام استقيموا ولن تحصوا، استقيموا ولن تحصوا، يعني لن تبلغوا الاستقامة الكاملة، لأن كل ابن آدم خطاء، خير الخطائين التوابون. استقيموا ولن تحصوا واعلموا أن خير أعمالكم الصلاة. هل المسلمون الآن يصلون الصلاة التي أمر بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ هل المسلمون الآن يصلون الصلاة التي قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، التي قال الله عز وجل فيها قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون؟ هل استقاموا في صلاتهم؟ هل صلوا صلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي قال صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي؟ هل حجوا وفق هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما قال خذوا عني مناسككم؟ هل صاموا وفق ما أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما قال إذا كان يوم صوم أحدكم فلا يرفث ولا يفسق فإن سابه أحد أو شتمه فليقل إني صائم؟ كم من صائم الآن ولكنه لا يتخلق بأخلاق الصائمين؟ كم من حامل للقرآن يدعي الاستقامة ولكن لا تظهر أخلاق القرآن عليه؟ والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما سئلت عنه عائشة عن أخلاقه قالت كان خلقه القرآن. فأنت تحمل كتاب الله وتزعم الاستقامة، لكن حينما نحاكمك إلى آيات الله نجد أنك في واد والقرآن وأخلاق القرآن في واد آخر. فالله عز وجل يريد منا أن نستقيم باتباع ما أمر والانتهاء عما نهى عنه وزجر.
After that, Ikhwani, the Shaykh, he went on to continue what he began, and he said, Al-Istiqama, being upright and having an istiqama, it is not according to one's desires. There are many people who have the pure intentions and they really have the desire to have a salah, to rectify their affair. They want to make tawbah with sincerity. But in their attempt of fulfilling the process, they follow their desires. It's because they believe and they understand that the deen that they are upon, that they're trying to practice, it is other than the deen and the guidance that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was exemplified in the actions of the understanding of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And for that reason we find the point he's trying to make is that the people want to make tawbah and other than that, but they're on the way, the wrong way. And from that, we understand in the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he talked about the division that's going to take place with this ummah, that all of those people who went off the main course, the correct way, all of them will be in the hellfire. As the hadith said, that the Jews divided into 71 sects, yarhamakallah, and the Christians divided into 72 sects, and this ummah is going to divide into 73 sects. All of them will be in the hellfire. He said that those sects that will be in the hellfire, they're the ones who went off of the course of al-istiqamah, that is, the correct way. And they entered into the hellfire as a result of that. But the individual who has al-istiqamah, and he holds on to the kitab and the sunnah, then obviously he's not going to be in that fire. He's going to be with the sect that is saved, and that is the ta'ifa al-mansura, or the firqat al-naji, the saved sect. He went on to say that in the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them will be in the hellfire except one. They won't be in the hellfire because they had istiqamah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to have an istiqamah. They were upright without any tughyan, without going beyond the call of the limits, without going beyond the boundaries, because we have many people who have gone beyond the boundaries in one form or another. You have those Khawarij who went overboard. They went beyond the bounds. You have the people who are the Murji'a. Those people who say, you just say you believe and you don't have to do any action. They went overboard. These people went overboard in one end, the Khawarij, and the Murji'a went overboard in the other direction. So the people fall into Al-Ghulu, having excessiveness in their Islam. And being excessive and having ghulu is one of the main reasons why people go astray. So whoever wants to have an istiqamah, then he has to be upon the way, the maslak, the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. He has to make himself upon their way in his aqidah. Make himself upon their way in knowledge. Make himself upon their way in the actions that he does. Make himself upon their way in his saluk or his character and in his behavioral patterns. The man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an authentic hadith to illustrate the importance of this concept, and he asked him, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about something in al-Islam that I can only ask you. The Shaykh went on to explain what was the meaning of the question of the man. What the man was looking for was, he was looking for some advice that was complete and comprehensive. And it was enough advice that if he were to hold on to this advice, then the man would be okay. He wouldn't need anything else. Tell me something, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I can only ask you by way of advice. I really need something that will be enough for me, complete and comprehensive. In my deen and my dunya, it will protect me. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented with this question, he answered and he said to that man, say, I believe and then be upright. Say that I believe and then be upright. And in another narration it said, say, my Lord is Allah, Rabbi Allah. My Lord is Allah and then be upright. Not like the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. This hadith is showing us the danger of being like the hypocrites. Those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about them and given this description, and from the people of those people who say we believe in Allah and they do not believe. They try to trick Allah and His Messenger. They try to trick Allah, but they do nothing but succeed in tricking themselves. The Shaykh said, there are many people who, when they claim they want Islam and they want to put forth the best that Islam has to offer, they raise up and they make many claims and many slogans. like the Islamic Jama'at, the many Islamic groups that are around, that are readily available. They have many slogans and many statements that they're raising. They're claiming that al-Islam is the best solution for the problems and the issues. But which Islam are they referring to? Is it the Islam of the Asha'ira? Is it Islam of the deviant group, the Ash'ari Islam, and what they believe and what they say of putting the intellect, for an example, giving it more precedence and preference than it deserves? Is it the Islam of the one who is a Sufi, who claims and he calls to being unified, being in unification with Allah? Allah is him and he's Allah, and they're part of each other. Is it the Islam of the hypocritical political people who are always claiming, they are always speaking about the politics, but the politics that they're referring to are not the politics of al-Islam? The Sheikh said, no, of course not. The solution for the problems and the answer to these issues is the Islam that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam and his companions, as the hadith suggested. It is the group, the one that will be saved. It is the group that is doing what I'm doing today, as well as my companions. So al-Islam, the correct, pure, unadulterated Islam, is the Islam that will solve all of the problems that the Muslims are facing today. Is the Islam that will solve the problems. It's the Islam that some people understand. The Islam of blowing people up and blowing things up and being forces of destruction that make a lot of problems in the earth. Is it the Islam that these people understand that compromises the safety and security that people should be having? You came to this country and they gave you a visa to come, and you entered along with that visa. And with that visa is a contract and an agreement between you and them. You cannot do anything to compromise that. Don't destroy things. These people are claiming that they are pan-Islam, and what they are bringing is the solution to the problems of the Muslims by killing people and destroying people and property. Is this the Islam of al-Istiqama? The Sheikh said, nah. Fighting and jihad are two lofty and illustrious goals and objectives of this religion. No doubt about it. But what we have to do is we have to go about practicing and applying these two lofty goals of fighting and jihad according to the way that is correct, according to the tariq that is sahih. He said, now, Ikhwani, we are living in the time of much tughyan, going overboard and exceeding the limits that have been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a lot of tamarrud or rebellion that's going on inside of al-Islam ourselves. We are very rebellious in the way that we're going about trying to solve these problems. And there's a lot of tashweeh, of a lot of people who are marring the picture of al-Islam. The Muslims themselves are giving a bad indication of what Islam is and what Muslims are. So this is not the Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and this is not the istiqama that we're referring to here today. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he commanded all of us in this hadith with al-istiqama, when he said, be upright and you will never be able to be completely upright. He said, be upright, make an effort to be upright, have istiqama, and you will never be able to be completely upright. And the Shaykh went on to explain why. He said, because of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that shows that you can't be completely upright. All of the children of Adam make mistakes, and the best of those who make mistakes are those who make tawbah. So he said in this hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be upright, and you'll never be able to be completely upright. And know that the best deeds that you do is the salat. So my question here is, the salat. Are the ummah, are the Muslims and the members of this ummah, are they praying the salat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded in this hadith of being upright? And the best deeds that will help you to be upright is performing the salat. Are the Muslims performing the salat that Allah azza wa jalla said about it? Verily, the believers are successful. They will have success. those who when they make salat, they are afraid of Allah. Are the Muslims making this salat? The salat that Rasulullah said about it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pray as you see me praying. Are they praying as they saw him praying? Or as it has been described, the pillar of al-hajj, the one that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take from me the rites of al-hajj. Do you see the Muslims participating in the hajj and practicing it the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illustrated and explained to his companions? As it relates to fasting, are the people fasting correctly? When the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever fasts and he doesn't make indecent statements and do wrong things and he doesn't oppress will be forgiven for his sins. Are the Muslims doing that? Is that the fast of the Muslims? A person is a memorizer of the Quran. He has the Quran memorized in his heart. And simultaneously he is claiming that he has istiqamah. But when you look at him, his actions and his deeds are in contradiction to what the Quran is saying. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she said about him, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, the akhlaq or the khuluq, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Quran. So one of us, he has the Quran, he's memorizing the Quran, he has memorized the Quran, and he claims us that he has istiqam and he's the righteous, he's upright, he's trying. The Shaykh said, but when we take a closer look at the behavior of that particular person, you will find that one of us, the akhlaq of that individual who's making that claim, is in one valley, and the Quran, and what the Quran is describing as istiqamah, and what is correct and acceptable, is in another valley totally.
ثم أخيرا أيها الأحبة لزوم الاستقامة الحقيقية ثمرة من ثمار التوبة الصادقة. يعني من ادعى أنه تاب وأناب وأراد أن يرجع إلى الله فعليه أن يستقم على طاعة الله وفق هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، عليه أن يستقيم على الصراط المستقيم بعيدا عن إفراط اليهود وتفريط النصارى غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، وهما أساس كل فساد. يعني منبع الفساد من طريقين، طريق المغضوب عليهم وهم اليهود بإجماع المفسرين، وطريق النصارى وهم الضالين بإجماع المفسرين. ولهذا قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: من فسد من علمائنا ففيه شبه باليهود، ومن فسد من عبادنا ففيه شبه بالنصارى. فهل استقام من سلك سبيل المغضوب عليهم؟ الجواب لا. هل استقام من سلك سبيل الضالين؟ الجواب لا. ولهذا نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام قال محذرة: لتتبعن سنن من كان قبلكم شبرا بشبر وذراعا بذراع، حتى لو دخلوا جحر ضب لدخلتموه. قالوا: من هم يا رسول الله؟ اليهود والنصارى. قال: فمن الناس؟ فمن غير اليهود والنصارى؟ فهل استقام من تشبه بإخوان القردة والخنازير؟ وهل استقام حقا من تشبه بعباد الصليب؟ لا، لم يستقم. الذي استقام حقا هو الذي اقتفى أثر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأثر أصحابه. ولهذا كمثال يضربه لنا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام على الاستقامة، لأن الإنسان أحيانا يظن أن الأمور باجتهاده وبهواه. لما أراد أن يرمي الجمار أخذ أمر ابن عباس أن يلتقط له حصى بحجم حبة الحمص، حصى قال كحصى الخذف، كانوا يضعونه بين أصبعين وينقفون بعضهم بعض، فنهى عن ذلك. فأتاه بسبع حصيات فوضعها في كفه ورفعها والصحابة ينظرون، قال: أيها الناس بمثل هذا فرموا. هذا هو الاستقامة، أن تلتزم الأمر، مش تقول والله هذا يعني أرميه بحذاء هذا هو الاستقامة، أرميه بحجر بصخرة. قال بمثل هذا، فالعبرة ليس بالكم، العبرة بالكيف، العبرة أن تلتزم أنت الأمر، أن تكون هواك، أن يكون هواك تبعا لما جاء به الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. فالرسول قال أيها الناس بمثل هذا فرموا، وإياكم والغلو. الغلو نراه الآن في بعض أدعياء الاستقامة، كم من حاج تراه يحمل نعلا ويرمي به الجمار، كم من حاج تراه يحمل قوارير صحة ويرمي، كم يضرب بالحجارة كبار فيشج رؤوس الآخرين. إذن هذا ما استقام، لأنه ما التزم بما أمر الله عز وجل، بل سلك سبيل الطغيان، زاد فوق الشرع. وهكذا أهل البدع، المبتدع لم يستقم. ولهذا جاء في الحديث إن الله احتجر التوبة عن كل صاحب بدعة حتى يدع بدعته. ولهذا البدع أشد من المعاصي، لأن المعاصي يتاب منها والبدع لا يتاب منها. البدع يتخذها دينا، يتخذها عقيدة، فيلزمها إلى أن يموت. فثمار الاستقامة بينها ربنا عز وجل، أن الذي يستقيم على أمر الله وعلى طاعة الله، أن الله عز وجل ينفع في هذه الدنيا وفي الآخرة. قال الله تعالى إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا، قالوا ربنا الله، رفعوا شعار الربوبية لله، لكنهم استقاموا والتزموا بهذا الشعار. تتنزل عليهم الملائكة، تتنزل عليهم الملائكة يعني في الدنيا تبشرهم أو عند الموت، ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا، لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا فيما تستقبلون وفيما تستدبرون، وأبشروا بالجنة. هذه ثمار الاستقامة، دخول الجنة التي كنتم توعدون على ألسنة رسلكم وعلى رأس محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، إذن ولاية في الدنيا وولاية وتولي في الآخرة. وبالإضافة إلى ذلك أن أهل الاستقامة يضع الله لهم القبول في السماء وفي الأرض. إذا أحب الله عبدا نادى جبريل، يا جبريل إني أحب فلانا فأحبه، ثم ينادي جبريل في الملائكة، ثم يوضع له القبول في الأرض. ولهذا من استقام على دين الله وفق هدي الله فإن الله يلقي محبته في القلوب ويجعل له هيبة، إلى غير ذلك من فوائد الثمار.
Okay.
صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
Sheikh Abu Anas, he finished his portion of today's talk concerning the istiqama, and he said, the last thing that I want to say, ikhwani, concerning al-istiqama is that the one who tries to have al-istiqama and he makes the lazum of al-istiqama, he is always with it and he's trying to accomplish it in his life, it has some fruits that are born. It has a thamara and it has an impact as it relates to the tawbah that we're mentioning here today. Whoever claims or he wants to make al-istiqama again, then he has to understand that in order to make al-istiqama, he has to be willing and ready to make a tawbah from what went before of his deeds. And his istiqama also has to be in accordance to the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has to be upon the sirat al-mustaqim. He said it has to be far, far away from the ifrat of the Yahud and the tafrit of the Nasara. The Jews, they didn't do enough, and the Christians, they went overboard. And they are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned when he said in Surah Al-Fatiha, those who you are guided to the Surat Al-Mustaqim, what we want to have is istiqama on. Not the way of those people who you are angry with, the Jews, and not those who have gone astray, meaning the Christians. So our istiqama has to be away from those two extremes, doing too much and not doing enough. So the fitna and the facade of the earth today, of what we're seeing today, the source of it, a lot of it comes from these two groups who have gone astray in either direction. And for that reason, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, from our ummah. Whoever makes fitna and fasad, he's not doing good. And he's from the ulama of al-Islam. He has knowledge. But he's not doing good. He's not working by his knowledge. He's making fitna and fasad. He is similar to the Yahud. And those people from our ummah who are falling into fitna and fasad, but they're from the ubad, they're from those people who worship Allah, they are similar to the Nasara, the Christians. He said, those Jews and those Christians who we just mentioned, can we say that what they're doing and the way that they're practicing their religion, is that considered to be the istiqama? And those people are clearly astray? He said, of course, their way is not the istiqama. And for that reason, we have an authentic hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically chose those people as the example to warn us against them as it relates to establishing ourselves upon al-istiqama, showing you that al-istiqama is upon the siratul mustaqim, and it is not in accordance to what they were upon, being overboard or not doing enough. Rasulullah says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you people are going to follow those people who came before you, a handspan by a handspan, an arm span by an arm span, until the point if they were to enter into the lizard's hole, you people will also follow them into the lizard's hole. The companions say, Ya Rasulullah, are you referring to the Jews and the Christians? Those are the people we're going to follow? He said, and who are the people other than them? Yes, that's who I'm referring to. You're going to do what they did. The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwani, so, the way of the Yahud and the Nasara, those people who went overboard in either direction, and they're claiming it's istiqama. Is that istiqama? Is istiqama the way of the brothers and the descendants of monkeys and pigs and the worshippers of cross? Is that the istiqama? He said, no, this is not the istiqama that we are to try to practice and to follow. Al-istiqama, again, it has to be according to the asar of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and what he brought and what his companions understood and what they were upon, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I want to give you an example that comes to us in an incident that is explained to us from the hadith. Because a person in his mind, he can evaluate his situation, and even though he may have sincerity, he may think that what he's doing is the correct thing, but it's not the correct thing. So I want to show you this concept of what happened in this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing the hajj. And while performing the hajj of al-Islam, he came to the jamar, the jamarat. He wanted to stone the jamarat, the pillar, one of the things that you stone at the hajj. He wanted to stone it. So he said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, go bring me some rocks. What Rasulullah wanted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was some pebbles. He wanted some small rocks, like the size of the chickpeas that we eat. Just something small. But Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, when he went to fetch the rocks, he brought back some big rocks, massive, bigger than the size of what Rasulullah wanted from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he brought those rocks, Rasulullah took the rocks.
ضعيف في الإنجليزي لكن فهمت إيش تقول. ابن عباس جاب الحصى الصغار ولكن الرسول عليه الصلاة قال رفعها قال بمثل هذا فرموا وإياكم والغلو. ما خالف ابن عباس.
Okay. So to repeat, the Sheikh said he doesn't understand English, but he understood what I was saying. So he said, no, not like that. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he didn't go against. He didn't bring big rocks. Ibn Abbas, he brought the little chickpea rocks, because they used to take the rocks and he used to pluck the rocks like that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised up the rocks and he said, with these types of rocks, these are what you should throw. Throw these types of rocks. He went on to say, the Sheikh went on to say, so in this case we find that from the benefit of this particular issue is not to do what the people who are performing Hajj do today. The people, they throw their shoes, they take their bottles like this, and they throw bottles at the Jamarat. He says, so the lesson, the thing to do, the benefit is not in how many, but it is in the way that the thing is to be done. And the way that it should be done is in accordance to what Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this particular issue with Abdullah bin Abbas, when he raised up his hand and he had those rocks and he said, these, with these type of rocks, you should throw. And then he told the people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beware of al-ghulu. Beware of being excessive and going overboard in the religion. Beware of al-ghulu. And don't go overboard. For verily those who went before you were destroyed because they went overboard in their religion. So again, the pilgrims, unfortunately, they go overboard. They throw their shoes, they throw the water bottles, and other than that. So al-istiqamah, ikhwani, is not what we find the people doing. The people went overboard, and they continue to go overboard. And they have a tughyan. They go beyond the call of limit. The Shaykh, he went on to say, and that's why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing us the danger of this. He said, verily Allah has concealed. He has made a hijab and put a concealment, prevented. Every person who makes innovation, the one who makes innovation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a hijab or prevented him from making tawbah until he leaves off his innovation. And the reason for that is because the bid'ah of innovation, it is more severe. It is more shadeed than the sin that an individual will do. Because the bid'ah, the innovation that the person is doing, while he's doing it, he believes it's his religion, he believes it's the aqidah, he's believing that it is the thing that is accepted by Allah, so he doesn't see any need as to why he should abandon it and leave it alone. Finally, akhwani, he says, so therefore I just want to mention, from the fruits and the thimar of al-istiqamah are a number of issues. And then he began to rehearse and recite to us the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily those people who say that those people who say that Allah is our Lord, and then they have al-istiqamah, the malaika come down upon them. From the benefits of istiqamah, those people who say our Lord is Allah, and then they have al-istiqamah. The malaika, they descend upon them. The angels descend upon them. And this is their slogan, that our Lord is Allah. As a result of that slogan, they also do the istiqamah. From the benefits of that is that they are recognizing the rububiyah, or the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them. The malaika come down, and the malaika say to those people, we are your awliya in the dunya, and we are your awliya in the hereafter. So that is the tabshir, bushra, that the malaika, the good tidings, that the malaika are giving them. We are your awliya in the dunya, and we are your awliya in the hereafter. We will protect you, and you will not have any fear upon you, nor will you be sad. You won't be afraid, nor will you be sad. In the dunya, they'll have security. And yawm al-qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give them security. So have the glad tidings of the Jannah that you used to be promised. That you were promised in the dunya. Now you're going to enter into that Jannah. The Shaykh, he went on to say, in addition to that, what was just mentioned in that ayah, in addition to that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam explained to us, from the benefit, from the fruits of al-istiqamah, is the authentic hadith that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if Allah ta'ala loves a servant, then he tells Jibril, verily I love so and so. And then Jibril in turn begins to love that servant. And then after that, Jibril tells the malaika in the sama, verily Allah loves so and so, so therefore you should love so and so. And then those who are in the sama, they love that individual. And then Allah puts the acceptance of that servant in the hearts of the people in the earth. So all of that is from the thamarat, from the fruits that come as a result of having al-istiqamah. So after that, ikhwan, inshallah, we're going to now give the Shaykh Hisham Arif, hafizullah ta'ala. We're going to give him an opportunity to...
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. نحاول قدر الإمكان أن نتناول هذه الكلمة باختصار شديد كما أوجز النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نصيحته وكلمته في أمر جامع يدخل الجنة، هو قوله ناصحا: قل ربي الله ثم استقم. وكلمة ثم استقم تعني أن يجاهد المرء نفسه على الاستقامة بعد معرفة الله عز وجل. قل ربي الله تدل على أن المسلم يجب عليه أن يعلم توحيد الأسماء والصفات وتوحيد الربوبية. ثم استقم، هذا هو المطلوب من المسلم في حياته، أن يعبد الله كما أمر. ولذلك من رحمة الله عز وجل أنه جعل في صلاتنا دعاء نستمر عليه في اليوم في كل ركعة: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. فالاستقامة تحتاج منا أن ندعو الله عز وجل في كل وقت أن نكون على الاستقامة، لأن الاستقامة أمر كبير، ونهاية هذه الاستقامة أن تدخل الجنة، وهي مما جعله الله عز وجل ابتلاء للعبد بقوله: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. فالعبادة تتطلب منا أن نبقى باستمرار في طريق الاستقامة. وأعطانا الله عز وجل مثالا أن نتعوذ أن نكون في طريق المغضوب عليهم، أي الذين فسد عمل قلبهم، والضالين الذين فسد عمل جوارحهم. فالاستقامة عمل القلب كما أمر الله، وعمل الجوارح كما أمر الله. فإذا الإنسان أخل في أحد منهما، إما صار كافرا والعياذ بالله، وإما صار مبتدعا. فإذا كان من المغضوب عليهم فهو ابتداء فسد من القلب، ثم تبع ذلك في الجوارح. وأما إذا كان من الضالين فهو فسد من باب الجوارح ابتداء، ثم تبع ذلك القلب. ولذلك فالبدعة خطيرة، والبدعة ذنب عظيم، لأنها كما قال العلماء بريد الكفر. فإذا الإنسان ضل في أداء عبادته نحو ربه لعله يضل قلبه ويفسد. ولذلك كان من الدعاء الذي يدعو به النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة، قال العلماء، هو اتباع ولزوم السنة. ولذلك لما نقول اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، ما معنى ذلك؟ أي اهدنا العمل بكتاب الله عز وجل، اهدنا أن نعمل بالسنة الصحيحة، اهدنا أن نكون على فهم السلف الصالح، اهدنا أن نكون على الهدى الذي بينته يا ربنا في كتابك وعلى لسان نبيك المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
After that, Ikhwani, the Sheikh, he began and he said, after praising Allah Azza wa Jal, that he's going to try to deal with this issue that he's been given with al-ikhtisar, and he's going to try to make it concise and abbreviate it, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself abbreviated his advice, his nasiha that he gave when he ordered with this issue that is complete and is total and holistic, and it is so comprehensive that if the person were to take it, it will be a cause for him to enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah's advice that was short and concise was his statement, say, Allah is my Lord. Allah is my Lord. He is my Rabb. And then be upright. Those short words, they mean that the slave, the Muslim, should be diligent in making efforts, in making jihad, and struggling in order to always be upon a perpetual existence of al-istiqamah. Say, Allah is my Lord, and be upright. That means that the person has to continuously try to be upon al-istiqamah and to be diligent in being correct. So after, when he says, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah, first he acknowledges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, other things come. He has to acknowledge that Allah is his Lord. And in acknowledging that Allah is his Lord, it necessitates in that acknowledgement that he acknowledges the rububiyah of Allah, that he acknowledges the uluhiyah of Allah, and that he acknowledges the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal in his asma and his sifat. So he has to recognize the lordship of Allah and the fact that Allah deserves to be worshipped and him alone. And he has to acknowledge as well when he says, Rabbi Allah, Allah is my Lord, he acknowledges that the oneness in the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the meaning of Rabbi Allah. Say, Allah is my Lord. And then after that, be upright. And the meaning of being upright means that the person has to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as Allah commanded him to worship. And from the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us and upon this ummah is that he has given us a dua that we make to him whenever we make our salah. And it's something that we're doing all the time. And it's in our statement, guide us on the Surah Al-Mustaqeem from Surah Al-Fatiha. The Shaykh says, so therefore, Ikhwani, Al-Istiqamah should be understood that it is something that we need to be busy with all the time doing our lives and doing our day. And we have to be upon it. And it is a serious issue, a mammoth, massive issue, an Amr Kabir, big. The end of it will lead an individual into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the thing that Allah ta'ala has tried us with. He has tried us with this issue, al-istiqamah, and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trying to worship Him and be upon His worship. And that He said in the Quran, and we have not created the jinn and the mankind, except that they should worship me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-istiqamah, ikhwani, is something that should be done at all times, and it should never be abandoned. And Allah Azza wa Jal also, He has given us an example, a measurement by which we can look and we can judge and we can know about our istiqamah. When He informed us about those people who He is angry with, those people who are maghdubun alayhi, Allah Azza wa Jal is angry with those individuals and those people who are astray, and they are the baleen. And then the Shaykh went on to explain a point. He said, concerning those people who Allah is angry with, those who are maghdubun alayhim, they are those people who had the facade of their hearts. Their hearts became corrupt. As a result of the corruption that overtook their hearts, Allah Azza wa Jal became, and He is, angry with those individuals. And those people who are daleen and they went astray, they are the ones who had facade in their limbs, their body parts, the things that Allah has given them from the body parts have also gone astray and they became fasad. So if a person, as it relates to his heart or his limbs, if either one of these two things, they become decrepit and decadent, then the individual, he can become either a kafir or he can become a mubtadi. Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. As it relates to those people who are maghdubun alayhim, as I said, as the Shaykh said, that their heart first became corrupt, and as a result of the corrupt heart, the limbs were affected because of the corrupt heart, and then the limbs became, and it followed suit in the corruption. And as for those who are daleen, at first their limbs were corrupt, and then as a result of that, then it affected their hearts, and then their hearts became corrupt as well. So the issue of innovation is a serious issue. And the scholars of Al-Islam, they said concerning al-bid'ah that it is like the doorway to al-kufr. It is the next step that helps to it. So the person who goes astray, he's always opening up himself for this type of fitna. He went on to say, Ikhwan, from the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, is that he used to make the dua to Allah azza wa jal, our Lord, give us the good of the dunya. Give us the good of the dunya. Give us the hasana in the dunya, and give us the hasana in the hereafter, and save us from the nar. The Shaykh said that the ulama of al-Islam, they described and gave the meaning of atina, give us the hasana of the dunya. He said that they meant, that some of the ulama said, give us the hasana means to have the ittiba and the lazum of the sunnah. Give us the ability to follow and to hold on to the sunnah. That is one of the interpretations of that particular dua. Give us the hasana and the dunya and the hasana of the hereafter means give us the ability to follow and to hold on to the sunnah. He went on to say also in the dua, guide us to the siratul mustaqim. It means guide us to being able to work by the kitab of Allah and being able to work by the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the understanding of the companions of Rasulullah, the people of the righteous predecessors, according to the guidance of the kitab that was brought and explained on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الاستقامة تحتاج إلى أدوات لأنك تعمل في هذه الدنيا. من هذه الأدوات المهمة حتى تكون أنت على الاستقامة وتتجنب الوقوع في الذنب وتتحصل فيما بعد على التوبة، لا بد من أن تتعلم كتاب الله عز وجل. وأن تعلم من هم أهل العلم، لأن الله عز وجل قال فاسألوا أهل الذكر. إذن هنا يحتاج السؤال، لماذا السؤال؟ حتى تبقى تعرف الاستقامة، حتى تعرف ما حكم ما وقعت فيه من الخطأ. إذن ترجع إلى أهل العلم، وهذه أداة مهمة في ثباتك على الاستقامة، العلم والرجوع إلى أهل العلم بعد معرفتهم. ولا تعرف أهل العلم إلا إذا تعلمت، اعرف الحق تعرف أهله، وتتعبد الله بالدعاء. الدعاء هو العبادة، وهذا هو الدعاء الذي منحنا الله إياه، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. أنت بحاجة إلى العلم، بحاجة إلى الرجوع إلى أهل العلم، بحاجة للاستمرار في الدعاء اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. ثم لا بد من المشاركة في الإصلاح والدعوة إلى الله، الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. هذه أداة مهمة للثبات على الصراط المستقيم. وإلا ما فائدة أن تتعلم وأن ترجع إلى أهل العلم وأن تدعو الله بالهداية وأنت تركت هذا الواجب المطلوب، وهو الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. وأنت بحاجة إلى أهل العلم في كل وقت، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البركة مع أكابركم. وأعظم هذه البركة أن تكون على الاستقامة، كما قال ابن تيمية أعظم الكرامة لزوم الاستقامة. وكيف تستقيم وأنت تترك أكابر أهل العلم؟ وذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأكابر لكبر سنهم أو لقدوم عهدهم في فهم الكتاب والسنة، فهم أكثر الناس خبرة في الاستقامة، لأن الوقت والعمر له أثر في تبصير الناس. ولذلك قال من أشراط الساعة أن يلتمس العلم عند الأصاغر، إما أنهم صغار السن حدثاء الأسنان، وإما أنهم صغار في الفهم لم يكبروا على استيعاب ما أمر الله عز وجل وما بين النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. لذلك الاستقامة بحاجة إلى أدوات، وهذه هي أدواتها. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يفهم الصحابة هذه الأدوات، قالوا خط لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطا، ثم خط عن يمينه خطوطا، ثم خط عن شماله خطوطا، ووضع إصبعه على هذا الخط المستقيم وقال هذا صراط الله وهذه سبل الشيطان، على رأس كل سبيل منها شيطان يدعو إليه. ثم تلا قوله عز وجل وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيلي. فالإنسان إذا احتاج الثبات على هذه الاستقامة لا بد من الاتباع ولا بد من الانتباه، لأنك أنت مبتلى في هذا الخط وعليك أن تجاهد. ولذلك يعني لا نريد أن نطيل، لكن المنهج الرباني المعروض في كتاب الله عز وجل منهج استقامة واضح سهل جدا، كما تقول في الرياضيات 1+1=2، أعطي هاي زائد هاي يعطي الجواب. لكن القضية من يضع المعادلة؟ الله عز وجل وضع المعادلة، ولكن من الذي يقرأها صوابا؟ إذا قرأنا كتاب الله صوابا كما نزل تبينت لنا أمور كثيرة. على سبيل المثال، أول ما نزل من قول عز وجل اقرأ، أي تعلم. ثم الله عز وجل بين ذنب من ترك العلم، قال فما لهم عن التذكرة معرضون كأنهم حمر مستنفرة فرت من قسورة. إذن هم يرتكبون إثم ويحتاجون إلى التوبة منه، وهو الإعراض عن العلم، الإعراض عن العلم، لأن الجهل يدخل الناس في المعصية أو يدخل الناس في البدعة. ولذلك أهل المعاصي والشهوات جاهلون بدين الله، وكذلك أهل البدع جاهلون بدين الله عز وجل. وكلمة أخيرة أقول، وإن ملك الكفار كل مظاهر الدنيا بقوة، إلا أنهم لا يستطيعون أن يملكوا حياة الناس في الاستقامة، لأن الاستقامة من الله ولا يعرفها إلا المؤمن بدين الله عز وجل. فالكفار وإن قدموا للشعوب لشعوبهم أو لغيرهم من الشعوب حلولا مادية، لكنهم لا يستطيعون أن يقدموا حلولا هي تدل على الاستقامة والخيرية والنفع للبشرية. فالكافر يتحرك ويستعمل القوة من باب جهله لا من باب علمه بكتاب الله عز وجل وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فالفرق كبير. فمهما على الكافر بقوته لا يستطيع أن يكون أو يرسم طريق خير وهدى للبشرية. وهذا نكتفي به، وجزاكم الله خيرا.
إخواني، حتى لا تشغلوا المشايخ، الرجاء أن ترسلوا أسئلتكم إلى واحد من الإخوان جالسين في الأمام وأنت تمسك الأسئلة، حتى لا يشغل الشيخ أن يعني ما يكتبه ما يريد أن يقوله. The Sheikh, he went on and he finished and he wanted to make a point concerning those people who want to make al-istiqamah. And istiqamah, ikhwani, is in need of some tools and some utensils. If a person wants to make al-istiqamah, then he has to do so by using certain things. He has to have some adawat in order to be successful in having al-istiqamah. So he wanted to share with us some of those tools that you need in order to have al-istiqamah. And he said the very first thing that he wants to mention is that you have to come to learn about the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to learn about the Quran, the book of Allah. And in learning the book of Allah, you have to learn about who are the people of knowledge, which is connected to that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. So in order to get knowledge, you have to be connected with the people of knowledge. And in order to become connected with them, you have to get to know who they are. And this is because we're going to work and we're trying to make tawbah and we're trying to have an istiqamah. So all of this is connected. If you want to know the ruling of a particular thing that you did, you fell into a mistake, and you have to make a tawbah from the mistake that you made, for an example, then you need to know exactly, you need to come to know about who the people of knowledge are, and we have to return back to them and their affairs. That's why it is said, Ikhwani, know the truth, get knowledge, know the truth, and you'll know the people of the truth. The second tool that you have to equip yourself with is the tool of a du'a, to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His success in giving you al-istiqamah. And this is why, Ikhwani, the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-du'a, it is ibadah, it is worship. So we make du'a and we say, guide us to the sirat al-mustaqim. And we make this perpetual and consistent du'a at all times. In addition to that, there has to be a level of mutual cooperation, Ikhwan, in making al-islah and al-da'wah ila Allah, and enjoining the good, and prohibiting and preventing the evil. So the third tool is to engage yourself collectively with a da'wah ila Allah and a da'wah to al-islah. In addition to that, commanding the good and preventing the evil. Because what is the benefit of a person learning knowledge of the Book of Allah and then connecting himself with the ulama? What is the benefit of that if he's not going to work by that, and he's not going to call to that, and he's not going to bring the fruits and the effectiveness of such a thing? And I want to remind you again, concerning the ulama in al-Islam, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the barakah or the blessing, barakah, is with the akadir, with the ulama, those who are older. In this case, it is the ulama. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimullahu ta'ala, it is reported that he said that the a'zam al-karama, the greatest karama that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow or bestows upon an individual, the greatest ni'mah, the karama that he gives an individual, is that he makes it so that that individual can hold on to al-istiqamah. He went on to say, as it relates to the ulama and the hadith, that the barakah, the blessings, are with the akabir, the older ones, the ulama. It is with them because, Ikhwani, they are the people who are older. And as a result of their age and the passing of time gives people the insight to know things. So they have the qudum, or they have come and they preceded people, and they have the issue that the fact that they beat you to that good in terms of their age, it qualifies them as being the possessors of that good. And that's why from the signs of the hour is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing us the importance of this issue. And that is, from the signs of the hours, that knowledge will be searched for with the asagir, with those who are young. And the Shaykh said the meaning of this is that they are young because of their actual ages, they are young in their age, or they are young because they don't have any knowledge at all. He went on to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he helped us understand this important tool in the authentic hadith when the companion said that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a long line, and to the right of that line he drew adjacent lines, to the left of that line he drew other lines, and then he put his finger on the long line and he read the ayat of the Quran, and verily this is my sirat that is straight, so follow it and do not follow the other divergent lines or will lead you astray from my way. He said, so we all need to be perpetually involved in making an effort to make al-istiqamah. And I don't want to go long, I don't want to prolong this, but another tool is that we need to have al-ittiba. We need to be upon trying to be followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this minhaj that we are upon, it is a minhaj that is, It is a minhaj that does not have any fault with it. It's similar to mathematics, for an example. It's a minhaj. When you look at mathematics, you will find these rules and regulations, these principles, 1 + 1 = 2. Every time you add one, that principle will never change. 1 + 1 = 2. He was saying that the minhaj is similar, the minhaj that we're upon and we should be upon is similar to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has put down the signposts. So if we were to read the Quran, for an example, when Allah ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra, and He commanded him to read, the meaning of that is no, come to know. So, ikhwani, ignorance of the religion and ignorance of these affairs, they lead to destruction, they do nothing but cause problems. And even, he made this last point concerning the kuffar. He said, these kuffar, even if they were to control all of the dunya, they're in control, if they were to control every aspect of the dunya, they will never be positioned and empowered to control the lives of the people. Because al-istiqamah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and istiqamah is not with the kuffar. They can come up with solutions to many of the problems, materialistic solutions to solve certain problems, but as it relates to the problems that are connected to the lives of the people and the hearts of the people, then they can't come up with those solutions. They use their power and their strength based on ignorance. They don't use their power and their strength with knowledge and based upon the kitab and the sunnah. It's just that they want to use it just to subdue the people. But they will never be empowered or put in a position where they'll be able to control the actual lives and what the people believe. Because al-istiqamah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he finished with that. From what I'm seeing, ikhwani, the ta'am has been put there. So without any further delay, you guys can, inshallah, تقدموا على طعامكم إن شاء الله أحسن الله